Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Chronicles of Nannia, a nanny resource podcast made for nannies by me, a nanny. I am your host, Martha Reddick, and this week we are going to be talking about rye and everything to do with rye. And to do that, I have brought on or back on Kimberly Roberts Spanakovich. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi, Martha.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
It's so nice to have you back. We've been kind of communicating for a while for many reasons,
yes.
Which is wonderful. And I was so excited to get you back on the show. Kimberly, last time she was here, talked about Via the Village, which if you haven't listened to that episode, go listen to it. It's fantastic. And Via the Village is building and building all the time. And so if you haven't checked it out yet, go check it out. We'll give you more information on that towards the end. But before we get started talking about rye, let's hear a little bit about your background.
Yes. So I've been a nanny for almost 18 years now. I started nannying right out of high school. I taught kindergarten for 2 years and then was offered a high-profile position as a nanny, could not pass that opportunity up. It was amazing, great experience. I've gone on since then to work with many other wonderful families. I currently work in Hyde Park as a nanny household manager for 2 girls, ages 7 and 9.
Nice.
And I also have a 3-year-old son.
Yeah.
Who gets to come to work with me. So it's really fantastic.
Yeah, which is wonderful. And yes. We will be recording an episode sometime in the future about that journey from being a nanny to being a mom and then being both.
Yes, a nanny mom.
Awesome. So, and we will talk a little bit about that in this episode,
yes,
too, of managing those different parenting styles, mm-hmm, and bringing them together. So great. Let's talk about rye. First of all, what is rye?
So rye is actually an acronym. R-I-E is how it's spelled. And it stands for Resources for Infant Educarers. And an educarer is basically anyone who educates and cares for a child.
Yeah. So teachers.
Right. Teachers, parents, nannies, family parents, members. Yeah. Yes. And nannies. And rye is a parenting philosophy based on respect. So It teaches us not only to respect babies, but to show them respect each time we interact with them. So by treating them like unique, cognizant human beings instead of
just little lumps.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Not helpless objects, basically.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So rye was founded by Magda Gerber, who was a Hungarian educator. And she based rye on both her own parenting experiences and also the work that she did with Emmy Pickler, who was a pediatrician in Hungary who ran an orphanage that used gentle, respectful caregiving methods.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
I bet that was so positive.
Yes. Yes. And she talks about it a lot in her books. Mm-hmm. The one that I've read several of her books, actually. The one that I usually suggest people start out with is called Dear Parents, Caring for Infants with Respect.
Nice.
And in that book, she talks a lot about her experience working in the orphanage and working with Emmy Pickler, who was a pediatrician. She mm-hmm. also worked with a pediatric neurosurgeon. So a lot of her philosophy is research, brain research based.
Yeah, which so, is great.
As an educator,
yeah,
I appreciate that.
yes, for sure. Yeah.
So there are 7 principles of RAI, mm-hmm. and I can go through them really quickly. The first is respecting the child. Yeah. Obviously, it's based on respect. Developing a child's authenticity or their sense of self mm-hmm. By listening, observing, and acknowledging. Trusting the child's competence. So trusting that a child will explore what they are interested in and will do what they are ready to do when they're ready to do it.
Great.
Engaging in sensitive observation. So sensitive observation basically means that you are quietly observing.
You're not like, don't do that.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. You are not helicoptering.
Right.
You are sitting back. You are allowing the child to do whatever they, you know, whatever they are engaged in, whatever they feel like doing, obviously within safety.
Right.
You know.
No forks and sockets.
Yes, exactly. And the sensitive observation, the reason for that is to understand the infant's communications and needs.
Yeah.
So instead of rushing in and trying to fix, you know, when a baby is crying, you just wait, mm-hmm. you know, and kind of, I wonder what's going on. You become like a scientist,
right.
an observer.
Yeah. And something that I hear in that I think is really important is that presence.
Yes.
That you do need to be observing.
Correct.
Yes. And playing that scientist role.
Yes.
Not just like they're doing whatever they want, right. and I'm doing whatever I want.
Yeah. And there is time for that for mm-hmm. sure in RAI. But one of the important aspects of RAI is something called wants nothing quality time, or WNQT mm-hmm. For short. So basically what that means is you are in your child's play space, you're sitting back, you're quietly observing, you're seeing what they're interested in, you're seeing what they're learning about,
yeah.
Seeing what holds their interest, and your child or the child you're caring for feels your presence. They mm-hmm. feel your love. They feel that connection.
Yeah.
And it creates a sense of safety and security for the child so that you can step away and say, right. okay, I'm going to go and do the dishes right now. You can keep playing, but I'll be back, or I'll be, you know, close by if you need me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I found that these methods, not only does it, you know, I've had so many nannies ask me, you know, my nanny kid can't play independently.
Mm-hmm.
How do I, you know, get them to play independently mm-hmm. so I can have a minute to myself? Well, Magda explains that through RAI, you have that connection time, that, you know, hyper focus, if you
yeah,
will,
yeah,
on your child, and you fill them up with love and attention, and then you're able to leave them alone to do independent play because they feel safe and secure.
Yeah.
So I found that my son can play on his own for close to an hour mm-hmm. a lot of times, because we've been practicing these methods since he was a baby.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a kind of nanny win this week along those lines of, mm-hmm. I always tell my littlest one if I'm, you know, going upstairs to put a dish away or mm-hmm. whatever, and he's playing independently, I tell him where I'm going to be, and I say, I'm going to be in the kitchen if you need me, right. and then I'll be back. And so I, like, started walking up the stairs because I can't even remember what I was going to do, but I didn't say anything to him.
Okay.
And he goes, Marfa, if I need you, where can I find you?
Oh, that's like, excellent.
And I was like, that's a great question. I'm so sorry that I didn't communicate that.
Thank you for asking.
Yeah, thank you for asking.
That's
in
great.
In such a polite way.
Yeah. Wow. How old is he?
He's 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So then another super important principle of RAI is involving the child in caregiving rituals.
Mm-hmm.
So whether that's diaper changes or meal times or bath time, bedtime routine, you are getting them involved, allowing them to hold the clean diaper or brush their teeth first before you do it, or, you know, shove their arms into their sleeves. Even, mm-hmm. you know, young infants can do those things and want to do those things. They want to be involved. And the other part is during those caregiving rituals, you are completely present, completely focused on the child, and you're active and engaged and creating this loving experience.
Yeah.
Right. Where everyone is having a mutual good time.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I love about this principle of RAI is that it makes those times of caregiving so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the struggles to get the diaper change. You don't have the teeth brushing battles. You don't have the, you know, screaming at bedtime or the asking a million times for more water or, you know, another story. Like, your child is filled up with that connection time, and then they are able to disengage from you happily.
Right.
And it's just, I mean, when I first started doing it, I did not believe that it would make a difference, but it does.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet. I mean, yeah, I'm going to start using more of that.
Yes. Another principle, which is super important, is creating a safe space or a yes space for the child. And a yes space is basically the way that Janet Lansbury, who is someone who is, she trained with Magda Gerber. She's a RAI specialist. She teaches RAI parenting classes and nanny classes in LA.
Yeah.
She's written a couple of books. Really great resource. She explains a yes space as a space for your child that is completely safe. For example, if your child was in their yes space and you were to step outside and the door closed behind you and your child was stuck in the house until the fire department came to unlock your door, you would not have to worry that your child would harm themselves.
Okay. Yeah.
So completely enclosed, completely safe objects, no like scarves or, you know, nothing sharp, nothing that they could stack and then climb on top of. So, you know, a safe place. And a yes space, what she means by that is a space where a baby can or a toddler can explore their environment without having to hear, no, 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 don't touch that. No, that's dangerous. Don't do that. You know, get down from there. It's a yes space. They can do whatever they want to do in their yes space.
Yeah.
And it's so important for children to have not only that type of space, but that type of playtime.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where they're not constantly being corrected and redirected, and they can just follow their interests and, you know, do what they want to do.
Yeah. I can imagine.
Yeah. Another principle of RAI that's very important is offering time for uninterrupted play and free exploration, which we sort of talked about with the safe space or the yes space. But this also goes with outdoor spaces. Mm-hmm. Being out in nature, being outdoors as much as possible is really important for all children. But especially if you want your child to be self-sufficient, be adventurous, be curious.
Mm-hmm.
That outdoor time is very important. And then setting and sticking to firm yet loving limits.
Okay.
Is probably the hardest principle of Rye to follow. For everyone, I don't care if you're a teacher, you're a nanny, you're, you know, a parent. The reason we have trouble with this is because we feel uncomfortable with the child's feelings.
Right.
We don't want children to be upset.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts our hearts.
Right.
So we want to fix it. And we want, you know, to, we want them to like us. We want to be, you know, that person for them. And what Rye explains is that our children need us to be their strong, confident leaders.
Mm-hmm.
They need to know we have their back. They need to know that they're safe with us and that we will set limits and follow them and be consistent.
Yeah, yeah. Because it is disconcerting when, I mean, I still remember teachers in school where it seemed like the rules changed.
Yes, they were wishy-washy.
And, yeah, and you don't feel safe in
and,
that.
And the thing about when a caregiver is wishy-washy is that it is a child's a child is naturally going to test limits.
Right.
So when they don't know where that limit is, they're going to test it more and more and more until they find it.
Yep.
And by setting strong, you know, by being a strong, confident leader and by setting those firm but gentle limits, you're telling your child, this is my line.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm okay with. This is what I'm not okay with.
Right.
And they will, you know, that's not to say they're still not going to test limits because they will. Are. Yeah. But you are creating that dialogue, creating that relationship with the child to say, these are my needs.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I need from you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's a study and I don't have it in front of me and I didn't pull it up, but something about intermittent reinforcement is actually like literally crazy making. If it happens with no pattern, then your brain naturally will try to find the pattern.
Correct. And so you test even more.
Yes.
Yes. You're like, well, this happened last time, but I bet something different will happen this time. So maybe, you know, like, where is that? Where is that line?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a lot of, and what I like to tell nannies and parents who come to me for consulting, is Rye parenting and Rye caregiving takes a lot of self-discipline and self-reflection. You can't tell a child what your limit is if you don't know what your limit is.
Yeah.
So you need to be very attuned to your body and to be able to examine your feelings and to say, you know, so for example, the other night I was giving my son a bath and he was splashing in the water. And I said, the splashing is getting a little out of control. I'm getting some, you know, drops on me. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. Could you please stop splashing? And he said yes. And then, of course, went right back to splashing. Right. And I said, I'm feeling very uncomfortable right now because I don't like getting wet. So I need you to stop splashing or we're going to have to get out of the tub. And he said, okay. And he kept splashing.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I see you still want to splash, but I asked you to stop. I don't like getting wet. I'm going to get you out of the tub now.
Mm-hmm.
And he protested and he, you know, cried and let me know that he was upset. And I acknowledged his feelings and, you know, said, I understand that you're upset. You really wanted to stay in the tub, but I don't like to be wet. And, you know, I asked you to stop splashing.
Right.
So I had to know where my limit was.
Right.
In order to set a firm limit for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great example. Is there room in Rye for, like, let's say drumming is totally fine with you most days.
Mm-hmm.
But one day you quit caffeine or you're trying to give it up and you have a very bad headache.
Yes.
Is there room in Rye to say, like, I know that this is usually acceptable, but today I have a really bad headache and that's hurting my head.
Yes. Yes, there definitely is. And the reason that there is because rye is not only about respecting the child, but it's about expecting mutual respect.
Mm-hmm.
So when you treat a child with respect, they will in turn learn to treat you with respect as well.
Yeah.
So if you, you know, if your child is drumming and you say, buddy, listen, like, I know you love drumming. I love listening to you drum. Today, my head hurts. Could
right.
you please, you know, stop drumming for just a little while?
Mm-hmm.
Your child will learn to respect those limits.
Yeah.
Maybe not at first, because of course they're going to test, but it's okay to say, I'm not okay with you continuing to drum. I'm going to take the drumsticks away now.
Right.
I know you're upset by that. I know you want to keep drumming, but I can't let you do that right now.
Yeah. Okay, great. I was just curious.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I know sometimes, like, you know, your own body is just different.
Right. Yeah.
On different
no, that's
days.
That's a great question.
So rye is geared towards babies.
Yes. Geared right? towards infants.
Yeah. But does it work with older kids as well?
It does. Rye works fantastic with children of all ages.
Yeah. I bet some of the principals would work with adults as
it
well.
It sure does. Don't tell my husband.
Right.
Actually, my husband knows when I'm rying him. It's like a running joke in our house.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, but no, I mean, all children want to be seen and heard,
mm-hmm.
and all children want to feel like someone gets them. And that's what respectful caregiving is all about.
Right.
It's about acknowledging feelings, letting them know that you hear them, that you see them. It's about setting respectful boundaries and limits and being a strong, confident leader, which helps older children feel safe.
Yeah.
It works with everyone.
Yeah. And I actually read a blog post, and I'll put it up on Facebook, on Chronicles of Nanny's Facebook. But it was a mom talking about how she did rye when her kids were infants and then kind of let it go for a while, you know, as life happened and and whatnot. And then she was like, oh, this is getting out of control. I'm going to start doing it again. And she was like, I wonder if it'll work for my older kids. And she did it really hardcore
yes.
for a week. And she mm-hmm. was like, it does work.
Yes. I have a similar story. So I first discovered rye when I was nannying for a one-year-old little girl, and the family practiced rye. And they actually, I'm still to this day, I'm not even sure that they consciously knew that that's what they were doing.
Right.
But when I kind of did some research into like the specific ways that they were speaking with their daughter and different things that they were doing, rye popped up and I was like, oh, this is what they're doing. Like, this makes total sense. And then I used it when my son was born and with, you know, subsequent nanny families as well. But when I was younger and into college, I used to be a gymnastics instructor.
Mm-hmm.
So on the weekends, there are gymnastics classes for older children. My parents own a gymnastics facility in Northwest Indiana. So
awesome.
Sometimes I go and help out. And I hadn't, because I didn't live in the area, I hadn't been back to the gym since I started implementing rye.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working with a group of 9 and 10-year-old girls. And I thought, I wonder what would happen if I just, you know, tried out some rye principles.
Yeah.
And sure enough, one of the little girls came over and wanted to tattle on another little girl who was telling her that she didn't want her to, she was in her space,
mm-hmm.
and she wanted her to move away. And I said, I hear what you're saying. This girl told you that she didn't like you in your space, and and how did that make you feel? And she said, well, I didn't like that. And I said, well, could you tell her maybe? Just go over and say it. I don't like when you say that to me. Mm-hmm. And she said, yeah. And she went over and she said, I don't like when you say that to me. It doesn't make me feel good. And the other girl said, oh, I'm sorry. And then back to friends.
Wow.
And, you know, it was just like I could have very easily said, stop tattling. Go back right. in line. We're not talking about this right now. But I took, you know, 10 extra seconds and said, I hear you. Yeah. I see you. You're upset. How can we fix this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And more importantly, how can you fix it?
Right.
You know,
right. So, I'm not fixing it for you. I believe that you can do this on your own.
Yeah. Which, what a great gift.
Right.
Because then, yeah, we're not always going to be there.
Right.
To mediate. Yes. Awesome. So how does it look with, I mean, you just gave some really good examples, but are there more specific examples of, like, how it looks with babies who don't have the ability to speak yet versus children who can speak, because I would think those would be different.
Yes, so it definitely does look different. For example, a typical day for a baby, typical Rye day for a baby. a Rye baby may start his day with a parent greeting him from the side of his crib, and asking him if he's ready to be picked up.
Yeah.
Good morning. I hope you slept well. Can I pick you up now? And waiting for a response for the baby. Now, if the baby is a newborn, they may not respond because they probably don't understand what you're saying yet. But the thing about Rye is that from the beginning, you speak to your child as if they can understand you because eventually they will. And why not start as early as possible with that respectful back and forth type of relationship?
Yeah.
So I have actually found that babies as young as 2 months old can respond to simple questions like, can I pick you up?
Nice.
And you would be amazed.
Yeah.
So the you know, parents may ask, can I pick you up now? Let's go over and change your diaper. If the child is older, maybe you ask them, would you like to hold this clean diaper while I change you? Or would you like to hold the diaper cream? Mm-hmm. Can you lift your bottom up so I can slip this clean diaper underneath? Thank you. Would you like to help me put your legs in your pants now? Okay, I'm ready. You know, we're all done. Can I pick you up now? And you wait for a response. The child may reach their arms up. They may stiffen their body in response to you picking them up. So Rye really stresses that those times of caregiving should be unhurried, cooperative, intimate, and mutually enjoyable.
Yeah, I can totally see that. When you're working with an infant, a lot of times you got time.
Yes, you have all the time in the world.
Especially as a nanny.
Correct.
Like, I know for parents that's not always the case. But for a nanny, that's your job.
Yes.
So
I have all day.
Yep. You're like, I'm just here to support you.
Right, exactly.
Which is the beauty of being a nanny.
Correct. So then after diaper change, the child may be ready to play independently in their safe space or their yes space, leaving the caregiver to quietly observe or potentially put dishes away or start breakfast. Then during meal times, so Rye suggests that parents and caregivers do not use high chairs because they are restrictive for a child. Mm-hmm. So for younger infants, you hold the baby in your lap and you spoon feed them. For more mobile toddlers, they suggest getting a small table with small chairs and sitting across from the child, offering them a variety of different foods and allowing the child to choose what they eat and how much they eat, and then allowing them to choose when they're done. Mm-hmm. So the child, when they're finished, they get up and leave the table.
Yep. Do they, if they can speak, Do you encourage them to check in with you before they leave the table? Just yes. to say, like, I'm done. Yes.
So with my son, we taught him to say, I'm all done. Please may I get down.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Or please may I be excused.
Yeah.
And, you know, so yes, mm-hmm. It is encouraged.
Because I would think that would be part of the... Correct.
The mutual respect. Yes, I'm going to leave the table now.
I don't like when people just, right, just walk away from
yeah,
me.
Exactly. Yes. So then after breakfast, the toddler may choose to have more independent playtime. They, you know, you may have an outing to go to or a class to go to. Outdoor time is very important. And Rye also stresses interactions with our other infants yeah. are very important. So let's say you go to an infant playgroup. A Rye infant playgroup looks very different than right. a regular infant playgroup. In a Rye playgroup, you will see the caregivers sitting around the edge of a circle with the children in the middle. The caregivers are quietly observing the children. There's minimal adult interaction except for things like blocking bites and hits and, mm-hmm. you know, separating children when they're crawling on top of each other or when a child is feeling uncomfortable or getting hurt. They also do a lot of sports casting, which mm-hmm. basically just means saying out loud what you see.
Right.
So let's say, for example, your child has a toy and another baby comes over and takes it away. You might, instead of, you know, taking the toy back from the other infant and giving it to your child, you might say, you had the ball and now Tommy has it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yep.
Your child will either accept that and move on to something else, or your child will try to get the ball back. And if they do, you can say, now you're trying to take the ball from Tommy. You know, if Tommy's okay with that, great. This is how infants learn how to interact.
Mm-hmm.
They do not need adults to interact in those situations. That's not how they learn.
Right.
So it is a lot of observation. The gist is that babies need to figure out how to play together.
Mm-hmm.
And they do this by taking toys from one another and pulling each other's hair and, you know, climbing on top of each other. It's the caregiver's job to make sure that nobody is getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, they just let babies be.
Mm-hmm. It sounds very difficult.
Yes. And it is. It is for sure. And especially when you are a Rye caregiver and you are around non-Rye caregivers,
mm-hmm.
it's can be difficult because other parents often expect you to intervene.
Right.
If your child takes a toy from their child, they may not be okay with you just saying, you took that toy from that boy, and not saying, oh, no, we have to share, give that back, and, you know,
right.
apologizing profusely to the other parent. That's not how Rye works. And
right.
a lot of times that can be difficult
mm-hmm.
When you're in non-Rye groups.
Yeah. Yeah. So nannies out there, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, that explains
yeah.
that one time, just keep in mind that there's lots of different styles.
Right. Yes. And it doesn't mean that that parent is not paying attention or is being too yeah. permissive or, you know.
Right.
It may just be that they are using a different parenting style.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. In the evenings, the infant would be told that soon it will be bedtime. In a little while, we're going to go upstairs. We're going to take a bath. We'll put your pajamas on. We're going to read a book. We'll sing a song, and then I'm going to put you in your crib. It's a lot of talking about things before they happen so mm-hmm. that the infant can not only be aware of what's going to happen, but can adjust
mm-hmm.
To what's coming up next. So you give them time to process what's going to happen instead of just rushing them through the activities. and then placing them in their crib and going, why are they screaming? You know, I don't understand. Yeah. Letting them know what's going to happen before it happens helps to give them a sense of calm and consistency, which actually allows them to sleep better and to fall asleep faster. You have less bedtime struggles. Everyone is happier. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. My most recent nanny child, I call him the best sleeper in the world because he... I used Rye methods with him since he was very young. Mm-hmm. And his parents, when I came in, already had him on a fantastic schedule. And I continued with the Rye methods. And this child, I mean, took 2 2-hour naps a day, went to bed at 8 p.m. every night, woke up at 8 a.m. every night, did not wake up in the middle of the night. I mean, it was just, he would tell me he was ready for bed. You know, sign to me, night.
Yeah.
He would point to the stairs to go downstairs when he was tired. Like, he was happy to go to sleep.
Right.
And it was just, it was all about that, you know, that calmness and that consistency. And he knew what to expect.
Yeah.
And that's so important with infants, but, you know, with children of all ages.
Yeah. Oh, I wish we had talked about that in bedtime fears.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, if you listen to that episode and it's still not working, maybe try some of these things. Because that sounds like a dream.
Yes.
Literally. Wonderful. So how do you incorporate, I mean, you've kind of talked through some of the ways that you incorporate Rye strategies into nannying and into your parenting.
Mm-hmm.
But how have you found the balance of, 'cause not all families are Rye families.
Yes.
That you nanny
Most
for.
Are not.
Most are not. Yeah. And so, are there ways to, like broccoli into macaroni and cheese? Are there ways to sneak it in?
You know, there are. Yeah, there really are. The great thing about rye that I found is that usually you don't have to do much explaining about the process of rye.
Mm-hmm.
People will see the way that you interact with your child or with your nanny kids, and they'll say, how can I be more like that?
Right, yeah.
What are you doing that I'm not doing? How can I learn, you know, to be more like this?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, these are my resources. This is the philosophy that I use. This is what has worked for us. With my nanny families, I do a lot of modeling.
Mm-hmm.
I make sure to model respectful speaking, respectful caregiving in front of them.
Yeah.
And often I'll find that they very naturally will pick up these things.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, asking a baby, can I pick you up, before just grabbing them off the floor and, you know, whisking them away with no warning. Babies don't like that.
Yeah.
You know, makes them kind of fussy most of the time. Adults wouldn't like that either.
Right. Yeah.
So
if there was a being that could just whisk us
away.
Exactly.
You would not be happy. Yeah. So I found that a lot of times with the more general Rye philosophies, modeling is the best way to get parents on board.
Yeah. Do you, when you interview with new families,
mm-hmm.
do you talk about it?
I do, not specifically. I don't call myself a Rye nanny,
right.
Because I'm not. I'm not a certified Rye nanny. I call myself Rye-ish.
Yeah.
Because I use a lot of gentle parenting strategies and philosophies, but I don't. There is a lot about Rye that I don't follow.
Mm-hmm.
That there are a lot of things that I feel are very rigid. There are a lot of things that for example, rye was created in the 70s. There's mm-hmm. been a lot of new research since the 70s. The rye philosophy has not changed to keep up with that research
right.
and recent developments in, you know, neurology and brain development in children. Certain things like rye does not endorse baby wearing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't endorse the use of jumpers or walkers
or any other like rockers.
Right. Rockers, anything. Basically, they don't endorse anything, any position that you put a child in that they can't get out of on their own.
Okay.
So if you put a child in a baby carrier,
uh-huh.
They can't get out of that
right.
on their own. Now, I understand,
mm-hmm.
you know, the gist of that, but I also understand the benefits of baby wearing,
mm-hmm.
and I feel that the benefits highly outweigh the, you know, what Rye is saying are the detriments
right.
to baby wearing. And I've always felt that when I have a baby in a baby carrier, I am looking to them to let me know when they're done,
mm-hmm.
when they want to get down. I'm not, you know, they're not in prison.
Right.
you know,
right.
they can move freely. They can get down when they want. I'm still taking their needs and wants into consideration while baby wearing.
Right.
And
I, as I was hearing you describe, the yes space,
mm-hmm.
I was thinking as a nanny that could potentially be difficult to manufacture in a home that
Correct.
Is not yours.
In a home that isn't yours, yes. And I, that was actually one of my struggles. One of
yeah.
my biggest struggles was convincing the families that this was something that their child would benefit from.
Right.
And most of the families, you know, their objection was, we don't want to put our baby in an enclosed space,
right.
like a baby prison. And while I can understand that, you know, the alternative is either baby-proofing your entire house top to bottom,
mm-hmm.
or never taking your eyes off the child, or, you know, following them around all day saying, no, 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 don't touch that, don't do that, leave that alone, you know, stop banging on that.
Right.
So, and who yeah. wants to do any of those things? I don't have the energy to
Not
do those
I.
things.
yeah. So I, okay, yeah, I can totally see both sides of that. Because,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'm thinking through my nanny family's former and present, and I'm like, it would be difficult.
Yes, yeah. So a lot of times with my former nanny families, I would have to get creative and use furniture
mm-hmm.
and toy boxes and things to kind of create, you know, a yes space for the child.
Mm-hmm.
And even with younger infants, their yes space can be a pack and play.
Right.
I don't recommend that it is their crib because
right.
that's, you know, that
Sleeping.
Should be for sleep. Yes. But a portable, you know, pack and play is a wonderful, safe space for an infant.
Right. Yeah, totally. Awesome. What have been some of your greatest successes with this? You've kind of spoken about with your son and...
Yeah, so I love this question because my greatest success is my son.
Yeah.
By far. He is secure, competent, focused, confident, creative, curious. I mean... cooperative, cheerful. He is just an amazing child. And he's not perfect by any means, but because he has been consistently shown respect, he is extremely respectful to the point where we get compliments on his behavior literally everywhere we go.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
He is able to speak with adults. He's able to speak to other children. He's able to interact with babies.
Mm-hmm.
He loves babies. He just like, you know, can't get enough of them. And these are the characteristics of a Rye child. And most parents of RI children will tell you the same thing.
Right.
My child is confident and curious and resourceful and, you know, self-directed, self-motivated. Those mm-hmm. are the RI philosophies and the methods just foster those skills and those
traits.
Yes.
Yeah. And we were talking, Kim and I were talking before we started recording, and I was saying that because Kimberly will post pictures of her son mm-hmm. For Via the Village and then also for herself. And I follow her on all the things. And
thank you.
And I was saying that even in pictures, it comes across
yes.
that your son is so engaged yes. in whatever he's doing. Mm-hmm. And you can just tell that he's very present
yes.
in that moment. And it's really wonderful. And I haven't met him yet, and I hope to someday. But
yes, you will have yeah. to meet him.
But even in pictures.
He knows about you.
Aw. Well, tell him I said hello.
I will.
Awesome. So, and then what have some of your greatest learning moments been? So things that maybe redirected yourself.
Yeah. So definitely when my son was an infant, mm-hmm. I like to say that I stumbled into gentle parenting. Yeah. You know, I knew about it, like I said, from my former nanny family. And I had done, you know, the initial research. And then when I had my own son, I was like, okay, I get it. I know what to do, but like, this is real life
right.
and I'm exhausted yeah. and I'm cranky and my body hurts and, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not getting social interaction and like, this is really hard.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I found to be the most difficult was I would forget to treat my son like a person.
Yeah.
And I would, you know, it was like I was going through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
And it only took a couple of times of me trying to rush through a diaper change and him being so incredibly resistant.
Yeah.
And just so angry at me. Like, what in the world is going on right now?
This is not how we this do things, Mom.
Not, yeah, this is not okay with me. That I was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Like, I need to slow down. I need, there's a quote. I have quotes printed mm-hmm. and pasted all around my house, things that I want to remember
yeah.
Throughout the day. And one of them is soften and connect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I have to remind myself of. Even, you know, it's not, RI is not something that you're going to get perfect all the time.
Right.
RI is something you have to continuously practice.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I'm having a moment where I'm, you know, where my primitive brain takes over and says, you know, I'm the parent and you're the child and you're going to do what I say, I think soften and connect.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. Take a minute, breathe, soften, and then connect. So connect to me means looking at my child and saying, oh, there you are. I see you.
Yeah.
And it's just this magical moment that I can't get enough of during the
yeah.
day. It's just so fantastic. And for your child, you know, or the child in your care to know that you see them, you will see a change in them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing.
Yeah.
It really is. And at any, you know, no matter the child's age,
mm-hmm.
when a child sees that you see them and that you actually take the time to stop and really notice them and want to connect, then your whole relationship changes.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, as any human at any
right.
age, like when we have those moments.
Yes.
It's really magical. Mm-hmm. And for a child, I can't imagine a more magical thing.
Right, right. And imagine that happening over and over and over throughout the day.
Yeah.
It just helps to build that child's sense of self, mm-hmm. which is, you know, the foundation of Rai.
Right, right. And the foundation of becoming a adult that can handle
successful
yes,
independent adult,
whatever life throws
at
them.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay, so this is for doubters out there.
Bring it on.
But like, what if the kid's being really bad? Like really bad. And I'm saying it in that voice because I'm being somewhat facetious, but also like, what if they are?
Right. So there is a fantastic book that I believe should be given to parents in the hospital.
Yeah.
And should be given to nannies on their first day of, you know, nanny work. It's by Janet Lansbury, and it's called No Bad Kids, Toddler Discipline Without Shame.
Yes.
Oh. So.
I'm in.
Yes. Janet believes that there's no such thing as a bad kid.
Mm-hmm.
There are only children who have unmet needs.
Mm-hmm.
There are children who are struggling and they need help.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our job as the caregiver to figure out what it is they're struggling with and to help them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So children want nothing more than to please the adults in their life. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be quote unquote bad.
Right.
They don't want to push our buttons. They don't want to misbehave. They just want us to love them unconditionally. So when a child is being bad, you know, and I don't like that term, but when a child is
being... We can hear the air quotes.
Yeah. When a child is being bad, it's our job to figure out what we can do to help them,
mm-hmm.
either meet that need or deal with the disappointment of not being able to meet that need,
right.
or not being able to meet that need immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important to remember, one of my favorite quotes goes, "The child who needs the most love will ask for it in the most unloving ways."
Yes.
So that kid that's being really bad really needs love. They really need help. They mm-hmm. really need understanding and someone to say, "I see you and I hear you and I'm here for you. What can I do to make this better?"
Yeah. Yeah. And that is, and then I just posted it on Chronicles of Narnia, but it was from the Gottman Institute.
Yes.
And it was, thinking of your child as behaving badly disposes you to think of punishment.
Yes.
Thinking of your child as struggling to handle something difficult encourages you to help them through their distress.
Correct.
And so I really liked that, way of framing it.
Yes. And it is a mind shift for parents. Often I will hear parents complaining, you know, "Oh, my kid's being such a brat today. They're just, you know, they're doing this to me. They're, mm-hmm. you know, they're doing this on purpose."
Right.
Well, in a way they are. You know, children are very good at learning our triggers.
Yes.
They constantly observe us. It's their job. It's mm-hmm. what they do. They're very good at it. And if they have an unmet need, they're going to figure out how to get it met.
Right.
And a very easy way to do that is to push buttons.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can look at that not as my kid is being bad or misbehaving or being a brat or, you know, being an expletive, you know, that some parents like to call their kids because they think it's cute and funny. It's not.
It's not.
You look at it as, my child needs help, and how can I help them?
Mm-hmm.
And not, my child is being naughty and needs to be punished.
Yeah, yeah. And just a little example from recently in my nanny world. The older of the two kids that I'm with, when he gets home from school some days, I can just see it all over him.
Yes.
He's tired. Yes. He's had to share and mm-hmm. listen and mm-hmm. be and engaged behave. And yes. behave all day. And he comes home and he really struggles to play nicely with his brother.
Yes.
And so I've started offering him some independent playtime
yes.
in a space. And then I say, I will play with your younger brother.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go play in this space by yourself for however long you need.
Mm-hmm.
And just doing that, it's usually about 20 minutes.
Yes.
Is all he needs. Mm-hmm. And then he yeah. can come back down.
And then he is ready to engage yeah. and, yeah, be involved.
But just figuring that out, because I was like, why are you
yes, yes.
just picking yeah. fight after fight?
I used to have the same issue with the 7 and 9-year-old. The 9-year-old, every day after school, sometimes we wouldn't even be all the way through the front door.
Right.
And she would be picking a fight with her younger sister.
Yeah.
And I finally, you know, caught on to the fact that she's stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth grade is hard.
It is.
Friendships are hard.
Yeah.
You know, behaving is hard. Keeping it all together, you know, for mm-hmm. 8 hours a day. It's a lot for a 9-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And she was trying to let me know mm-hmm. that she needed space. She needed her little sister to not be in her space.
Right.
And in her face. And, you know, will you play with me? Will yeah. you do this? You know, I want to tell you about this. Like, she needed time to herself to unwind. So we started implementing slime time, basically.
Nice.
Where she got to go to the art area and play with slime, which is her favorite thing in the world to
yes,
do.
That's very popular yeah, among 9-year-old girls.
For 10 to 20 minutes. And then we would have a snack and she would be like back to normal.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
Yeah, it really is amazing to just listen and observe.
And, yeah. And try and figure out and the needs.
Sometimes get them involved.
Right.
Especially right. when they're older.
Yeah, for sure. I like, love asking.
I see that you are struggling right now, or you seem uncomfortable or mm-hmm. unhappy. What do you think's going on?
Yeah. How can I help you?
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite phrases with the 7-year-old that I nanny for, struggles with anxiety issues.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a lot of well-meaning adults in her life who try and fix everything mm-hmm. for her, or to try and diminish her feelings and tell her it's not that bad. You
right.
don't need to worry about that. My philosophy with her has been to ask, what can I do to help? How can I help you right now?
Yeah.
What do you need mm-hmm. to feel better? And she is very good about telling me how I can help and what she needs. And sometimes it's to say, could you please go away and
right.
shut my door and I need time to myself. And I'm like, absolutely.
Yes.
We all need time to ourselves sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's, will you play a game with me? And sometimes it's, you know, I feel like I really need a snack.
Yep.
Absolutely. I can help with that. you know, but, and one giant misconception about Rye is that because Rye doesn't use punishment, people think that it is a form of permissive caregiving.
Mm-hmm.
So, you don't use punishment? Well, your kids just, you know, must just be jerks all the time and do whatever they want and, you know, run the whole house. Like, I'm not going to raise my kid like that. But it's not, you know,
yeah.
it's not like that. It's, you still set limits constantly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the 9-year-old, for example, if she is frustrated after school and she gets a tone in her voice, I will remind her, it's not okay to speak to me that way. Could you please change your tone?
Mm-hmm.
And then once she does, I can say, it seems like you're feeling a little stressed out right now. Like, what can I do to help?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not, how dare you speak to me that way? Go to your room.
Right.
You know, you're not being dismissive of a child's feelings just because they're not perfect. Just
yeah.
because they make mistakes, they're still learning. You know, they're still learning how to get along with other people.
Yeah.
They're, you know,
we all are.
Right, exactly. And adults, you know, struggle with this too. And it's just, it's our job as the educators to teach them how to do that in a respectful way.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. So let's say a nanny is listening to this, or a parent, and is like, oh, I love this. I want to know more, because yes, there's books and books. We mm-hmm. can't possibly cover right. everything about Rye in this podcast. What are some, you've mentioned some along the way.
Yes.
But what are some resources?
So a great place to start is Rye.org, mm-hmm. which is talks about the Rye principles and talks about educaring and has resources for parent education classes and just, you know, information in general about everything Rye.
And just a reminder, Rye is R-I-E.
Correct. Yes. R-I-E .org. There are several authors who have written books about Rye. One of my favorites is by Deborah Carlisle Solomon. It's called Baby Knows Best, Raising mm-hmm. a Confident and Resourceful Child the Rye Way. It's one that I read when my son was very small. When my son became a toddler, Janet Lansbury's No Bad Kids book mm-hmm. is fantastic. Peaceful Parents, Confident Kids, which is a book and now comes in workbook form, which Ooh. Is wonderful, yeah. and I own and have actually started going through, and I love it. But it is also a Facebook page and a website, so that's a great one to check out. There's actually a Facebook group called Rye Nannies.
Nice.
And another one, which is for nannies and parents who don't. So there is the large Rye group, which, forgive me, because it recently changed his name. It used to be called Rye Raising Babies Magda's Way.
Okay.
I'm not certain what it's called now, but that group is for, like, the hardcore Rye followers.
Right.
So if you come in and you start talking about baby-led weaning, they're going to shut you down.
Right.
You know, or if you come in and talk about rocking your baby to sleep, they're going to say, that's not how we do things.
Mm-hmm.
If you are more interested in a Rye-ish approach, there's a group called Toasted Rye that is more laid back, mm-hmm. And they will give you more like the gist of Rye, but without all of the rules.
Right.
Another great resource is Lisa Sunbury, who is an author. Her website is regardingbaby.org. Okay. She also has a book called Regarding Baby and a Facebook page as well. And then Magda Gerber has written many books, my favorite being Dear Parents, Caring for Infants with Respect. It's a very quick read. Mm-hmm. It's very engaging. And if you can find it on Audible, or even Janet's book, No Bad Kids, if you can find that on Audible,
you would highly recommend that.
Really
yeah.
fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially for people, you know, busy nannies and parents who don't have time to sit down with a book.
Yes. Yes.
It's great.
Yep. I love me some Audible.
Yes.
I'm also an auditory learner, so.
Nice. Yeah.
That is helpful. Awesome. Those all sound like great places to start and immerse yourself if this is something that is speaking to you and you're interested in. And I do think that trying some of these as you learn more, or if you are like, I listen to this podcast and I feel good about incorporating some of these things.
Right, or I already do a lot of these things.
Yeah,
and this
exactly.
is very natural to me.
Yeah, so, you know, incorporate some of these things and then leave the things that don't work
right.
for you.
Right. And that's, yeah, that's why I like to say I'm Rye-ish.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a philosophy, and you take what works and you leave what doesn't. And, you know, that's what makes for a good caregiver.
Yeah.
And, you know, what works and what doesn't will differ from child to child.
Right.
And that's one of, you know, the important things to keep in mind is that not every style will work with every child, but every child will respond to respectful caregiving.
Yes. And every child will respond to being seen. Correct. And heard.
Yes.
I mean, that's like need number one.
Yes.
am I being heard?
Right.
Wonderful. Well, is there anything that we didn't get to? You're like, oh man, I wish we had talked about.
With my nanny kids and with my son, we talk a lot about body autonomy,
mm-hmm.
Which is something that Rye suggests, you know, it's basically something you incorporate from the beginning of a child's right. life when they are a newborn. You don't pick up a child without asking. You always let them know what you're going to do before you do it. With my son, for example, we talk about body autonomy. We always ask him before we pick him up. We always ask him, can I have a hug? Mm-hmm. We don't, you know, swoop him up. We don't pick him up from behind. That's not respectful. You wouldn't right. do that to an adult. You know, you shouldn't do that to right. a child. We want him to know that his body is his. He's in charge of it. If he doesn't want to hug grandma, he doesn't have to. We're not going to force him. We teach him to listen to his instincts. If he doesn't want to interact with an adult when we're in the supermarket, we don't force it.
Yeah.
We don't make excuses. You know, we talk to the adult yeah. instead. You know, there's no reason to make him feel embarrassed or say, oh, he's shy. You know, we let him follow his instincts when it comes to people, when it comes
to... Which
is
so important.
Yes, yes. We respect him when he tells us no or stop. You know, we like to roughhouse. Mm-hmm. Roughhousing is very important for children, for their brain development, for their body development, physical closeness, emotional support, you know, everything. But if we're tickling him or, you know, roughhousing with him and he says stop, we stop.
Mm-hmm.
And we take his words very seriously. We want him to know that when he says no, that that's it.
Yep.
And the same, you know, on the flip side, if we say no or stop, we expect him to respect that from us as well.
Mm-hmm.
And respect that from any, you know, from anyone.
Right.
It's only fun if both parties are having fun.
Yes.
Exactly. And that's important. We also, another thing about Rye is letting kids struggle a little bit.
Yeah.
It's important for kids to struggle. It's important for kids to build resilience. It's important to not always swoop in to rescue your child. I have a video on my Facebook page of my son when he was about 14 months old, climbing up a ladder at the park and going down the slide by himself. And I was amazed at the number of people that commented, like, I can't believe you let him do that by himself. Like, you know,
right.
That's dangerous.
Yeah.
I was right there. Yep. I was spotting him. I was aware, you know, but I had full confidence in his abilities because I have been watching him learn to climb
yeah.
for, you know, many months.
Yeah.
I was confident in his balance because we did not ever walk him around. Mm-hmm. He always had that body autonomy. If he couldn't do something by himself, we didn't help him do it. Mm-hmm. We let him do things when he was ready.
Yeah.
So, you know, of course, now at age 3.5, he's taking the step stool from the kitchen and pulling it over to the freezer and getting popsicles for himself. But yep. at least he's independent.
Yes.
And we do now have a lock on our freezer.
Excellent. All you should tell him all he has to do is give you one too, and then it's yeah. fine. You're like, wait, you didn't get me one.
Yes, just share.
yeah, and something in that blog post that I read, she was talking about how when she went to the playground with her kids and one of them climbed up something.
Yes.
And then got kind of high and realized that they were nervous or scared,
right,
or whatever.
Right.
And because she was observing, mm-hmm, mindfully observing, she was right there and said, "What if you put your foot here?"
Right.
But didn't go over and,
right,
take her kid, mm-hmm, down or.
Yeah, it's very important. We were at the playground one time. There was a dad there with his three older kids. My son was two at the time. And I had the older kids were climbing up this very tall ladder that kind of twisted and was, you know, kind of challenging to,
yeah,
get up. And up probably about 8-9 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
And my son was watching the kids go up and down, watching and watching and watching. And finally he said, "Mama, I want to do it." And I said, do you think you can? And he said, "Yes." I said, "Okay, I think you can too." And he, sure enough, climbed all the way up to the top. And the dad came over and he said, "How old is he?"
Mm-hmm.
I said, "He's two." And he goes, "Wow, I come to this park several times a week. I have never seen a mom let..." Most of the moms are like trying everything they can to keep their kids away from that thing.
Right.
Good for you for letting him, you know, explore his boundaries.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Thank you." What a nice thing to say.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought when he came over to say, "How old is he?" that he was going to say something, you know.
Lecture you.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Like, "Don't you think he's a little young for that? You know, that's kind of high up." But, you know, I trusted my son, and, mm-hmm, I did the same thing. You know, he did get stuck and he said, "Mama, I don't know what to do." And I said, "You know, try moving one hand here and put your foot over to the other side." And, you know, he did it. And,
yeah,
he was so proud of himself.
Yeah.
You know, he did it by himself.
Yeah. Which, what a wonderful feeling that,
yes,
that we can deny kids for a long,
yes,
time.
Yeah. Right. By not trusting them,
yeah,
to know what their bodies can do.
Yeah, exactly. That's wonderful. And yeah, and I love, body autonomy is something near and dear to my heart.
Yes.
So,
mm-hmm,
I totally agree with that aspect wholeheartedly. yeah, and we've talked before. I know we talked in the Manny's episode, I'm pretty sure, because Parker is big on this,
mm-hmm,
about when we're leaving like a play group or whatever, the nannies always suggest different ways of saying goodbye.
Uh-huh.
So, and we do it every time, every day,
mm-hmm,
you know, do you want a hug? Do you want a high five? Do,
right,
you want to just wave at each other?
Right.
How would you like
blow
to say
kiss,
goodbye?
Yeah. Handshake. Yeah.
And the kids end up having fun picking what they feel like that day.
Right.
Every now and again, we get a, "I want to do it all." And then
nice,
goodbye takes 5 minutes. But that's fine,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Because they're in charge.
Right.
So, yeah. That's awesome. Well, wonderful. Anything else?
I don't think so.
Yeah. That was wonderful. And I've got several books added to my list now because,
yes,
I'm fascinated. And
yeah,
I'd like to learn more. Wonderful. Well, we, actually, before we have a fun story,
yes,
let's talk a little bit about Via the Village.
Yes.
So, just a quick refresher, what is Via the Village?
Sure. So Via the Village is a website and a soon to be released, app,
yeah,
that is going to help facilitate nanny shares and match families with other families looking for nanny shares, and also match those families with nannies. It will also help families find nannies exclusively for their family. So if,
yeah,
you're not interested in a nanny share, you can still use Via the Village. There are many great features that Via the Village has that I feel set us apart from other nanny search platforms.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is the search function where you can look for other parents in your area. If you're a parent, you can look for other parents nearby for play dates or kitty carpools or backup care, friendships. If you are a nanny, you can find other nannies close by for the same things.
Yeah.
You can have a backup buddy. So if you have to call in sick one day, you can call your backup buddy and say, you know, hey, can you take my little one today? You can, you know, find nannies for play dates and meetups and get togethers, nanny nights out,
yeah.
All that kind of things. Via the Village has a online forum where nannies and parents can interact together, ask each other questions, get information from each other. It's been a really great resource.
Mm-hmm.
It's fairly active at this point, even though we haven't launched yet, so that's really exciting. We also have a community blog,
mm-hmm.
Where we have featured blog writers, but we also have community and guest bloggers who are both nannies and parents. Some are nannies and parents, nanny moms. We are looking actually right now for guest bloggers for Via the Village. So if you are interested in trying out being a guest blogger and want to try to write something that would be featured on Via the Village, you can contact Kim at viathevillage.com and check out viathevillage.com and our blog space, read through some of the articles, and throw your hat in the ring, because we're always looking for different points of view and different voices to help build our community.
Yeah, and something that I really appreciate about Via the Village is that it is, there's you as the nanny consultant are actively advocating for nannies and for parents. Everyone's getting their needs met, much like Rye.
Yes.
and that it, I feel in some of the other ones, the nanny voice gets so lost in the business of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And Via the Village, I feel a nanny can really express concerns and be heard and respected.
Yeah. So one of the great things about Via the Village, our CEO and founder, Emily Luange, is actually a nurse by trade.
Mm-hmm.
She has had several nannies in the past. She has two kids. And she's done nanny shares in the past as well. And she really just genuinely, she has a caregiver's heart.
Right.
So she feels for nannies and she wants to help elevate the nanny profession. So it was really, really wonderful. And one of the reasons, one of the main reasons I was so excited to get involved with Via the Village is because of that, you know, to have a CEO that understands and wants to help nannies and not just, you know, because, you know, let's be honest, you make money off the parents. The parents are the ones that pay for the sites. The nannies usually don't.
Right.
So the nannies kind of take a back seat on some of the other platforms. That's not what we're trying to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really love that about it. So so if you haven't checked it out yet, check it out on Facebook. Email in if you've got a blog idea.
Yes, check us out on Instagram also, at Via the Village. And our Facebook page is Via the Village. We also have, for specifically for nannies, we have a Via the Village volunteer page that I think, Martha, you are in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And basically, if you're a nanny who wants to help elevate the profession, search for Via the Village volunteers. You can ask to join and see what you can do to help us in spreading the word.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, okay, so now we end each episode with a fun or uplifting story, and Kim has brought one.
Yes. So I mentioned I nanny for two girls, mm-hmm. 7 and 9. One day after school, we were sitting around eating our snack, and the 7-year-old said, "Hey, Kim, did you know that when you drink water, you're actually drinking dinosaur pee? I learned that in school today, and that's why I never drink water. It's so gross." And I said, that's interesting. It does make sense, but since about 60% of our bodies are water, it's a good idea to drink as much water as possible. to stay healthy.
Yeah.
And the 9-year-old says, wait a minute. So that means our bodies are 60% dinosaur pee? And that was my reaction. Yep. I laughed so hard.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's a good point.
Yeah, and yes, they are.
Yeah.
If you think about it that way, our bodies are 60% dinosaur pee.
It's kind of the less romantic we are all star stuff.
Yeah, exactly. We are mostly dinosaur pee.
Yeah, we are mostly dinosaur pee. Great. That's great. Well, thank you so much, Kimberly. This was wonderful.
Yes, thank you for having me.
And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
Chronicles of Nania is produced and hosted by Martha Reddick. Artwork by Noni Amadon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Nania and on Twitter at Nania Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.